This is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
As we make our way into the cocktail hour, it is Super Bowl week 2024, and it's a rematch of 4 years ago. Can't wait for 2 months from now to find out which pandemic hits us that locks us home for another 10, 11, 12, 27 months.
Can't wait, huh?
Can't wait.
It feels a lot like 2020. It's these two teams in a sexy city. It's two really old men running against each other for president. It feels a lot like Groundhog Day.
You know what? I never really made that connection until now when you just said that, and you're right.
Yeah. Except for back then, Dean Thomas wasn't the king of all media. He was just a dude who was about to quit a real job.
Yeah, that's
during pandemic.
That's true. And then a dude who was, I used to love coming to work back then when nobody was on the road.
Remember how great that was?
Oh,
remember?
I'll never forget those times. Those were some of the best times of my life.
We had so much fun. There was no traffic. There was no one in the building. There was no small talk and nonsense. Yep. It felt like we were legend. I am legend. It felt like Wilson, except there was Brian, Ken, me, and you.
Yeah, man. It was so great.
But no Tina and none of those nonsense teammates from the office making noise and creating problems for us.
I know.
I do make a lot of noise and create problems, so.
No, you don't.
Sometimes. No, you don't see me during the day here.
Well, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
She makes a lot of noise.
Lots of noise and lots of problems.
Dean Thomas, what did Frank Sinatra say about the home team's cocktail hour?
It's the cocktail hour. And when Josh ain't here, I stay on my phone texting.
It's the cocktail hour. For me, it is right now.
Phones are flipped up right now.
Tina, please explain to the audience what you mean by phones are flipped up now.
So, every day when we start the show, Josh tells me and Dean, flip your phones over. Because at one point, we had someone overseeing our show. And
we had a consultant who said your phone should be either away or completely out of touch and face down.
So it's not a distraction. So every day, you tell us, you say to us, like, okay, phone's
because he's
flipped
right.
over. Because he is right. Because it is a distraction.
Right. And then we got another.
But you're not here.
We got another consultant who's currently with the show, currently with the company. And he said, make sure your phones are either off or out of range or they're face down. So the last guy said it, the new guy said it, and he's right. But meanwhile, when I'm not there, you guys don't seem to care. And you'd think that this would be a time that you'd be more locked in because I could drop it any second.
Which you did, but we were prepared.
I know. I was gone, and I came back, and we went from Super Bowl week to power slapping.
And I was about to say, and if you drop again, I'm bringing that power slap conversation right back.
We're just going to start. Yeah, I'm just going to end up having to slap Dean, and we'll just describe it and everything, but we'll be fine.
You guys laugh about stay texting and phones up and all that. It doesn't bother me. I mean, ultimately, all you guys are doing is increase my value because I'm the boss is hearing what it's like. And they go, damn it, we got to keep JC.
That is
so true. Thank you for that.
I was trying to look out for you.
Good looking out. Appreciate that. Cocktail Hour is being presented by Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Mm. Perfect. This coming Sunday, order ahead. Fried seafood and the Seafood Fest is happening now. Already you heard from Thomas, Big Thomas, the greatest fried fish sandwich in all of South Florida. And this is the same guy that told you the greatest potato salad on the planet. I'm here to tell you that I have the crab cakes, which, by the way, are a huge fan favorite. Limited time at Bud's Chicken and Seafood Fest. Crab cake dinners. Single crab cakes. Butterfly coconut shrimp, Dean Thomas, with dipping sauce.
I mean, that just sounds delicious.
Fried fish. Fried clams or oysters. And by the way, don't forget. The greatest chicken tenders, USDA tenderloin tenders. You probably never even had actual chicken tenders. You probably just had chicken fingers, they call tenders. Tender, coming from tenderloin, means the actual piece of the meat from the chicken itself. That's a delicacy. Tenderloin, as the name would indicate, is just that. Bud's Chicken and Seafood, family owned, family operated since 1957. The grandkids run the locations, all six of them, today. If you love America and what America stands for, you will love Bud's Chicken and Seafood. And by the way, just made with better ingredients and orders made fresh for you. Order ahead for pickup or delivery. Order ahead to have it brought to you or go to it. You can dine in like I always do. Just go to budschicken.com. Bud's chicken and seafood. See, Cat?
Yum, yum.
It's not in.
Keep it shrimple.
Keep it shrimple, people. Yum, yum. All right. He's the UFC's king of all media with his phone up so we can text Dean Thomas.
No, I just turned it down. You know what I'm saying? I want to do the right thing.
Why did you have to say that? I just why did you rat us out?
What?
Listen, you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting me.
I turned it down. I'm a responsible radio host.
Understood.
Right. I'm texting.
Tina, you have your phone probably up, like you said. Again, you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting me. Doesn't affect me.
You are right, but it is on Do Not Disturb. So at least I'm not getting the notifications, but it slipped up.
I just love that you're openly on the air disobeying the orders of the man that we trust to be the consultant for our programming.
I blame Dean. Like, he didn't have
blame
to say
me.
He didn't have to say anything. And well, he so decided.
I don't even know who the new guy is.
Tina, you blaming Dean doesn't mean that you're not doing it. You're just blaming Dean that Dean told everybody.
Yeah, he had to tell everyone. Like, you would have never known.
Like, at least she has a phone on Do Not Disturb. I told everybody. I was like, yo, Josh ain't here. Call me when you want.
do you, boo-boo. Do you. Again, I'm not the one that, it's not my rule, but I do believe in it. I do believe in it. I think it makes everything better. So I agree with both of those consults.
You just can never leave us unsupervised.
It's a sad world. If I'm the responsible, mature one, like if I'm in charge of stuff, that's a bad sign, don't you think?
It is a bad sign.
Kind of.
I kind of feel like C-Cat is our parent. I feel like
at times.
You know what it feels like? Dean probably knows the movie. You guys don't. The other two, you guys don't. Bustin' Loose.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Richard Pryor, Cicely Tyson, he had a school bus full of like troubled and disabled and challenged kids. Some of them were arsonists. Some of them were nymphomaniacs. Some of them had intellectual disabilities or physical disabilities. He had a school bus of troublemakers and difficult. And he was like the adult driving the school bus with these kids on it.
Yeah, I remember the movie. I couldn't like name any parts of it, but I totally remember the movie.
C-Cat is Richard Pryor. He's the bus driver.
Yeah,
and we're
sure.
The difficult, challenging, and challenged children on the bus.
I'll lead from the front. I'll drive down the right way. I will make sure this on this side of the show, we're all square now.
He is definitely the parent. Like, he keeps the show together. Like, he hits us up every day and makes sure everything's together.
Yes.
And then I'm the older sibling. That's like when he has to go on a date or he has to take a bath that I have to watch my little siblings and make sure you don't burn the house down. That's me.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And Dean's the one that plays with fire in the basement.
Yep.
And swears he's not. But you can smell the smoke.
Yep.
And he lets things burn till they get a little nervous and then he tries to blow them out. And then what's Tina doing? Tina smoking cigarettes in her bedroom?
Yeah.
Oh my
just
goodness.
A little brat.
She put a towel under the door so the smoke doesn't escape. She's smoking cigarettes?
Yep.
Sounds about right. LeBron James. What do I always say about LeBron? Well, he likes attention. And he needs to feel needed, and he wants to make sure people realize that their lives and jobs will be harder without him. But we often talk about LeBron with his passive, aggressive nature. He likes to send messages without actually saying the message, right?
Uh-huh. Always does that.
He has a tendency to do this. He'll be 40, by the way, in December.
What?
And I know this because LeBron and I are birthday twins.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be 40 December the 30th. LeBron, after winning with the Lakers at Madison Square Garden, after defeating the Knicks and ending their 9-game win streak, he's doing the entire post-game interview wearing a New York Knicks towel around his neck.
What?
And it's not like it's an upside down or it's backwards. Listen, LeBron is very aware of brands and branding. He's aware of the endorsements that he has. He's aware of exactly what he's holding, what's behind him when he's on camera. He's got a towel draped around his neck that says New York Knicks, acting as if, oh, it's just a towel. Don't read too much into it. While he's begging the whole world to read a whole lot into it.
Mm, you know what this means.
What's it mean?
What?
It means he's going to New York.
Well, Brian Windhorst says of the passive aggressivity that LeBron has indicated and illustrated, this is top notch. This is, and Brian is like, his passive aggressive is off the charts. He goes, this is another level. He's wearing the towel with the Knicks logo visible so that we would talk about this. So that we would say, what if he goes to New York? He always talked about. In the post-game interview, he even talked about how great it was to be in this city, even though they're there for like just another 2 hours. C-Cat, I know you saw it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, LeBron's always doing that. He loves to get the people talking about him, even if it might hinder the focus of his own team. It's all about LeBron.
I know, but think about how he'll hit all the sexy towns, that like Miami, L.A., New York, Cleveland, okay. All the sexy towns.
Yeah, and looping Cleveland there? Yeah. That's a sexy town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sexy Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Got it. This was a deliberate attempt to make people think, is he trying to send a message? What is he trying to say? But the problem is, when you're passive aggressive, you got to be passive about it. And this was not passive aggressive. This was just, I'm trying to be a baby, and I'm going to get you guys to wonder and question and think. Meanwhile, what executives are having a panicked meeting in Los Angeles going, he did have the towel around his neck. We have to do something fast. He had the towel around his neck. Like, they know exactly. If Windhorst is calling him out, and Windhorst has been covering LeBron and following him since he was in high school, saying it's just LeBron, being an idiot with the towel. You know, if it's that obvious, Dean, it's kind of like, I'm going to run away. I mean it.
Oh,
but everybody knows you're not going to run away when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and what are your, when you threaten to run away, when you're 5 years old and you got your little suitcase and you put your teddy bear in there and graham crackers or teddy graham crackers, you you say, I'm going to run away. And what do your parents say? Okay. Take care.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good, it was good
door.
To know you.
Yeah.
Because they know you're not going anywhere.
For sure.
LeBron may wind up elsewhere, but I can't imagine anybody's too worried about him putting the towel around his neck. But he thought that, like, oh, this is going to cause a problem. But it's so obviously LeBron that everyone just rolls their eyes. The aggressiveness, C-Cat, is not passive.
No, it's very blatant and obvious. Yeah, it's weird because he's also the king of the player empowerment in the NBA. Like, if he wanted to be gone, he would make that call, tell the front office, get me out of here. And yep. They would be close to obliging, but it's weird. It's not passive.
We've heard for years that LeBron would have considered and almost went to the Knicks, and by the way, may do so at the end of his career. I think that depends on the family and Bronny and USC to some degree. But take a listen to Stephen A. Smith, who says the Knicks really should strongly consider a trade right about now. Listen.
They got 4 first-round picks this year, 2 first-round picks next year, 11 first-round picks to play with over the next 7 years, and who's the franchise in desperate need of draft capital? It would be the Los Angeles Lakers. I know it's not going to happen, but damn it, if I'm Leon Rose, World Wide West, Gershon Rojas, and who knows who the hell else, I guess what? I'm making a call to Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. And by the way, to the New York Knicks, if you need help, I'm offering my services for free. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I would love for King James to be in New York City.
All right, pop quiz, C-Cat, let's hit the hot seat because let's welcome our contestant for today. The hot seat today is being presented by Anna Jean Levine, Accident Attorneys, 1-800-747-FREE. I know it feels like you're on the hot seat when you've been involved in an accident. Don't let it. Call Anna Jean Levine, Accident Attorneys. They will fight for you. Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, and their massive team of litigators. They do not get paid, not 1 cent, unless you get paid. And they will fight to get you the maximum compensation that you know you deserve. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733 for Anna Jean Levine, Accident Attorneys, car accident, truck accident, slip and fall, trip and fall, medical malpractice. Let them help you take back control of your life. Let's meet today's contestant, Tina.
Welcome to the hot seat.
Tina, this is a game based on checking to make sure that you're not scrolling TikTok during the show with your phone face up.
Okay, Dean was looking at me.
Here we go.
Okay.
Tina, according to Stephen A. Smith, how many of these draft picks do the Knicks have over the next 7 years?
I hear 2.
What?
I don't know.
That is incorrect.
It's kind of hard to understand.
Dean Thomas, do you want to help her?
It was 11.
It was 11. How's he paying attention? What the hell? Why are you paying attention to that?
I told you today is my day, boy.
I thought for sure during that question you'd go to the microwave and heat up whatever food was left on the counter by somebody else.
But there's only cupcakes there right now, so like I don't want to heat up a cup.
That reminds me, on my Instagram story, the former world champion on Instagram, I did post reshare. Apparently, some employee at a Target somewhere killed their coworker because the coworker ate their lunch. Wow. I've never related to the murder of a human being more so than that. Because if you were to say, why would you murder another human being? I'd be like, well, did they take my lunch or my leftovers out of the fridge when they knew it was mine?
You know when you see a post and you're like, oh my gosh, this is this person, and you go to send it to them and then realize that person shared it? Like, I saw that post and was like, this is Josh. Like, this is JC. Like, he does not.
And then you saw it was from me?
And then yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, he shared it. And yeah, it's you to a T.
It's a good point, because there are a lot of reasons to murder somebody.
Right.
Some very unspeakable. There's not many reasons to deliberately take somebody else's lunch that you work with. Right.
Right.
I'd never really thought of it that way. That is a good point.
If you're hungry, tell me, ask for help. If you take my lunch, I might not murder you, but I might board your grandmother into her home from the outside and then set it on fire. Is that going too far?
No, it's not going too far.
I think with you, it's more like just taking anything that you like, stealing for you, like stealing
yes.
anything
you're
that
right.
is yours. Like right. that crosses the line with you, and
you're right.
You would murder someone.
But food's different, mm-hmm. though. But food is a different level. Like, think about when you got leftovers you're looking forward to. Somebody eats it.
I love leftovers.
But think about when you're at work and you can't leave and you brought your own food yep. and somebody knew it. The thing is, it wasn't mistaken.
Right.
It wasn't like they thought, oh, I thought this was community or I thought it was mine. It's not a slice of pizza in a box. I'm talking about a brown paper bag with your name mm-hmm. written on it in Sharpie.
What is the psychology of someone who does that? Like, what are they thinking at the moment? They're just
they
like,
don't care.
They won't get caught. They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just do it and they're not going to
get caught. They would never know.
I almost beat up Emerson Lazia. I almost beat him up and he didn't even eat my food. He ate somebody else's food out of the fridge at the old offices back in like 2014. And I wanted to fight him. He couldn't understand why I was upset. And I'm like, you don't do that. He's like, oh, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't get it well, either.
It's a massive deal, especially in retail. Those shifts stink. You're dealing with bad customers. You're dealing with bad coworkers. And that one piece of joy is your 30-minute break. And you've got those two slices of the pizza waiting for you. You look forward to that the entire first half of your shift. And that's taken away from you because of a coworker. I could see how you get to that point. That's
kind of a thankless job. You're right. Kind of a thankless job in a lot of ways, particularly if you're dealing in customer relations, mm-hmm. customer service. Dean, can you imagine working at a store, you know, like a big retailer like that, in customer service, and nobody likes being lied to. Nobody likes being BS'd. But you're there, and there's a guy who's returning clothes that you can tell he clearly bought and wore over the weekend for an event, and he's telling you he didn't wear them. Can you imagine dealing with that, Dean?
Oh, I would hate to deal with that.
Why would that hurt? Make your job harder?
Because,
why?
I mean, that's just foul. That's just like, that's almost as bad as stealing somebody's lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story I'm hoping to see is that it says Palm Beach County area marshals employee arrested and jailed for beating senseless a customer who was returning clothes they wore. The victim has not been identified, but yet there's a picture of C-Cat on the floor with two black eyes.
That lawsuit would be incredible. You kidding me? You wouldn't see me on Monday because I'd be in pain, but cashing the check as well. That's what would happen.
I could imagine C-Cat trying to return clothes, armpit stains on the shirt.
Wait, yeah, you could imagine.
Collar all stretched
happens,
out.
Dude, yeah. Yeah.
let's get back to LeBron and the truth on the LeBron James situation. According to Brian Windhorst, when it comes to his future with Los Angeles or elsewhere, and why maybe LeBron was wearing the Knicks towel around his neck being so obvious in his baiting. Listen to Wendy. This is brilliant.
And when it comes to LeBron, there's a bilateral negotiation happening right now. The Lakers are negotiating with teams for trades, and LeBron is negotiating with the Lakers, trying to force them into giving up everything they can to improve their team.
That was Brian Windhorst. You understand what's going on. There's this one happening bilaterally. That one is happening. LeBron is smart. His team is smart. And they understand what they're doing. But what he really wants to happen, that may be obviously disguised. And we know that he's done that successfully since the announcement back in the summer of 2010, when he didn't let people, anyone, not even his former employer, know what he was planning on doing.
LeBron is a basketball genius.
Yeah. I mean, and a business, too.
Yeah,
business
for
well.
Sure, for sure. He's a business genius, basketball genius.
Yeah.
But, man, is he petty.
Yeah. Oh, he's petty. He's Petty Murphy. Yeah. He's Tom Petty. He's Petty LaBelle. He's all the above. Speaking of brilliant and genius, last night we saw great genius, including the original musical genius, Stevie Wonder, at the Grammy Awards, the Grammys, music's biggest night. We also saw Luke Holmes perform his big hit song, Fast Car, and blow the minds of idiots like C-Cat and Tina that had no idea that song was actually belonging to a woman, Tracy Chapman, who performed it and wrote it and made it a huge hit herself back in 1988 into 1989.
We're not idiots. It's just like when the songs come out, like, how am I supposed to know that that's a cover song?
You're supposed to do your homework on
No,
the song.
I'm not. It's, that's right. I hear it on the radio. I hear it on my streaming platforms. And I'm like, this is a great song. Luke Combs sings it. There maybe should be something like cover, a cover of this person.
I'm sure when she saw that performance, she was like, I wonder who is this lady singing a song with him?
Yeah. No, there was some context before they showed them last night on the Grammys, and it was amazing.
Luke Combs is a young man. He's like 32 or 33 years old. He looks much older. He's a big dude. He's balding. But he's a young guy. Luke Combs, by the way, did tell the story prior to performing that his father used to drive an old F-150 truck, and that song would come on the radio, and Luke Combs was talking about how the song was his favorite song before he knew what a favorite song was. He had a different connection and relationship to that song. Luke Combs has had several very successful albums prior to the release of this most latest, where the cover of Fast Car is included. Fast Car is a song dealing with life's hardships and not ideal parental situation and trying to scrape by a living, but having dreams and having hopes of a better future and what's possible. And the idea of taking a fast car and getting the hell out of here and starting over, as she said, any place is better. Any place is better in the song. So last night, we start to hear the familiar chords of Fast Car. And then the camera pans out. And we remember Tracy Chapman as a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is now, 35 years later. She looks beautiful. She has long gray locks that are braided in her hair, and she has a smile on her face that was just warming to the soul. She's performing this song and the crowd starts to go crazy, and she's got to be thinking to herself, I never ever imagined that I'd be back at the Grammys playing this song 35 years later. She was best new artist, by the way, with that song, I think, in 1988. I'd be back doing this 35, 36 years later in front of this crowd, and these people are cheering for me. This has to be, it has to be almost like Dean Thomas is main eventing at UFC 305.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I mean, it's crazy because that had to be a surreal moment for both of them. Like for her to come back and to have that type of reception, and then for him to be singing his favorite song with the person who wrote it.
Right.
Think about that. Special for both of them.
I'm at the Grammys. I'm a young man. I've had great success. This was my favorite song before I knew what a favorite song was, what that meant. And I get to perform. And by the way, he put a little extra stank on it. Like you could tell that he was performing with the person that he admired so much because he went to another level with his vocal performance. I want you to take a listen because everybody knows the chords. Tracy Chapman starts to play it. And then the camera pans out. Go ahead and play it. Camera pans out. And then you see that it's her. And I think for a lot of people, they're like, who is this person? Like Dean joked. And then you see him. And they go back and forth on the duet of this. The smile on her face, it was almost a, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is real. On her face. You got a fast car. I want to take us anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. The reality had hit her right before the vocal of like, oh my gosh. And then Luke Combs, he's about to sing right now. And he's like, I better not screw this up. You got a fast car. I got a plan. Inside of here, been working in the convenience store. Managed to save you in a bit of money. Born at the drive too far. Across the border and into the city, you and I can both just finally see what it means to be living. I talk about it all the time, and you guys know this. Nothing unites different people of different every category in life like music. Sports divides people in a stadium. Mm-hmm. I want the red team, I want the blue team. I want this fighter, I want the other fighter. Nothing brings people together like music.
I agree with that.
Put their differences aside, they don't care. Listen, think about what we had last night on that stage. You have a gay black woman performing a song at the Grammys with one of the young men of country music that became a huge hit on country radio in front of the entire world of music and the industry of the Grammys. Different backgrounds, different lives and life stories. She was a big star before he was born and went away. And now she came all the way back because he brought her back. And the difference is in who, male, female, black, white, gay, straight. It's remarkable. And to see them collaborate like this reminds you, man, we're all just one type, the human type. And music can bring us together.
That's why I love music so much. Music, there's nothing to me like music. I feel like there's a special place where good music lives. And like, yep. I want to live there.
Yeah, same, same. And last night during this performance, I was captivated. Thank you, C-Cat, for playing that. By the way, speaking of last night at the Grammys, that was clearly one of the greatest moments of the night. But also, Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus won her first ever Grammy, and she received the award, MC, from a different MC. She, Miley Cyrus, got the award, Tina, from?
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey. And she told a little anecdote about a boy for his birthday wanting a butterfly. Listen, because I think we can all relate to the message of this quick little story.
I got sat in my lucky number 3 seat, and so there's a story I want to tell that sums up this moment, and I wasn't going to tell it, but now Mariah's here. So there was a little boy that all he wanted for his birthday was a butterfly, and so his parents gave him a butterfly net, and he was so excited, he just went outside out in the sun and started swinging and swinging, but with no luck, he sat down on the ground, he finally let go, and he surrendered, and he was okay that he wasn't going to capture this beautiful butterfly. And right when he did is when the butterfly came and landed right on the tip of his nose. And this song, Flowers, is my butterfly. Thank you.
There's a young lady who was a child star, and we all know how hard that is to survive that. How many child stars have we seen that didn't get in trouble with the law, didn't get in trouble with drugs, didn't embarrass themselves and their family, their reputation? Justin Timberlake and who? Exactly. The list pretty much starts and ends. And maybe Ryan Gosling, but they weren't really stars. They were just working kids.
Right.
She was a star. She was on every little girl's backpack and lunchbox and
T-shirt.
Hannah
Montana, yeah.
Hannah Montana.
She was my childhood.
And then, you know, Wrecking Ball, and we saw a different side of her. Mm-hmm. And she went a little maybe overboard with some of the sex and a little overboard with some of maybe the substance, whatever that was. And here she is with this huge song that everybody knows. I can buy my own flowers, write my name in the sand, mm-hmm. So on. She's tremendous. She gets a Grammy for that. And then she's performing the song later on. And take a listen. In the midst of singing her own song that won the Grammy, she slides in a little, oh my gosh, this moment. Listen.
But had to. I didn't want to fight, but we did. Started to cry, then remembered I just won my first Grammy.
There's joy in that, Dean Thomas. I just won my first Grammy. She didn't even sound like the same voice that was singing.
I know. I mean, you could tell that she kind of got out of character and turned into a little girl who always wanted something like that. And
yep.
But the moment when she was standing next to Mariah Carey was special for me because she showed a very human element of, I can't believe I'm standing next to Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
That was, to me, I thought that was special too.
It was. And by the way, later on in the show, she was talking about idols and heroes, and she listed Whitney and Celine Dion, and she did not list. It was pre-managed, pre-produced, as if when she saw Mariah Carey, she thought, oh, bleep. I didn't include her in my idols, my heroes. I better say something right now. Because later on, they're going to be like, some dude, you know, from South Florida is going to be like, hey, wait a minute. But if you're such a big deal, why didn't she mention her earlier? Tina, you were a Hannah Montana fan.
Huge Hannah Montana fan. I watch probably every episode of that show and listen to her song. I still jam out to Hannah Montana.
You know, you don't
want
to
chase. I thought
that
was Amigo's song.
It is Amigo's song, but.
What's Amigo's song?
They have a song called Hannah Montana.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Look at Dean, right? All day today. What's
all
going
day
on?
Today.
What's going on with that? I love the analogy of the little boy chasing the butterfly. And then, you know, when you surrender sometimes, it comes to you. You have to let things sometimes come to you.
Yeah.
I feel like, Dean and Tina, you can probably back me up on this. For C-Cat, that butterfly isn't the perfect song. That it's not the perfect book. For C-Cat, it's the perfect personal injury lawsuit at a retail store where he slips and falls and hits his head and then realizes, oh my God, the butterfly landed on my nose.
essentially, right? I don't got to stage any fraud or anything. I'll slip and fall one day.
It's just going to happen.
Try and avoid that if possible, please. Dean's laughing. But coming up when we return, Dean got played. Dean got tested. Some might say he got prison punked by none other than It's Time Bruce Buffer, the ring announcer of the UFC. How did that man, in Dean's summation, punk him?
I know he did punk me, man.
Oh, such a nice think guy, about it now. Too.
Like, I can't believe I let him punk me.
We'll find out coming up. First, though, Truist, because when you start with care, you get different, and you get a different bank, and you get Truist as a bank is what you get. Listen, you got to have a bank. Even if you do everything online, you still got to have a bank. Why would you not choose a bank that obviously cares about you and your goals, what you're trying to achieve, you know, that views you as a partner, that not just says the things, but does the things that we need in our communities? Visit a branch, check them out online, whether it's online checking, savings, credit cards, mortgages, loans, investments, auto pay. They do all of that without the nonsense the other banks bring to complicate your life and find ways to charge you nickel and dime you. None of that, please. Nope, that's not the Truist way. Truist.com. Start with care. Get a different, get a better bank. And that is Truist. It's the home team, Super Bowl week on ESPN
106.3. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Nothing like free money. Isn't that right, C-Cat?
I love free money.
Yeah, I bet you do. But it doesn't involve necessarily scamming and scheming. Sometimes you can just win it legally, like we can now with Hard Rock Bet. Have you heard? Hard Rock Bet is now legal in Florida. Hard Rock Bet is Florida's only legal place to bet on sports, right from your phone or in person, obviously at the kiosks at the casinos. But you can bet your favorite teams tonight, every night, every day. You can bet every single sport. Like UFC Saturday night, which we did do. Made a couple bucks. No thanks to Dean Thomas.
Well,
no,
I tried.
Appreciate you. Hard Rock Bet is easy to sign up for. Fast deposits, fast withdrawals, PayPal, Venmo. You can use your credit cards to make deposits and more. There's obviously hundreds to thousands of prop bets, parlays, teasers, plus live betting, live in-game betting, which means you don't have to bet before the game starts. You can be watching the game and then get a feel for what you believe and how it's going to go and bet it as you go and several more times during the course of that game or fight or match or race. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, fighting, golf, tennis, everything. You can bet anywhere in the state of Florida, in case you didn't know. The Hard Rock Bet app is clean, straightforward, easy to use without all that clutter. The app is simple enough for a first-time bettor, but built with all the features and functionality of people who are experienced sports bettors. Plus, get this, when you sign up, you'll get a no-regret first bet, up to $100. Your very first bet, there's details, by the way, on that. You can use your no-regret first bet on parlays, props, overs, and more, any game you choose. If your first bet doesn't win, that means you get up to $100 back to try again. The amount you bet is the same amount you get back paid as a bonus bet, which is tremendously generous. You go to your app store, go to Google Play Store, or online at hardrock.bet to download and play on Hard Rock Bet beginning today. And obviously, you're going to want to get on early because you're going to want to play a bunch of props on Sunday. There's a lot of ways to make money on Sunday with, of course, that professional men's tackle football game. Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-EDMINUTE. We are back live on the home team, and it is not Radio Row. It is Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square with JC, Dean Thomas, Tina, and C-Cat. And we were about to tell you the story about Dean and the fact that he got
punked.
Punked.
I got completely punked by Bruce Buffer.
Why do I feel like he's like totally messing with us?
Yeah, I didn't really drop.
Right,
I'm just testing you. C-Cat and I were just testing you.
I know.
It's too easy with that.
C-Cat's face gave it away.
See, we got to do that in a segment where it's not about Dean, where Dean doesn't know the answer. That's the thing. It's got to be.
Because I picked it up right away. Boy, I was on top of it.
Yeah.
We I got to look we more worried next time.
Yeah.
Oops, I gotcha today. That's the name of the segment. Oops, I gotcha.
Oops.
And that's the corny music in the very bottom, C-Cat. There you go. Oops, I gotcha
He got almost.
Presented by the St. Lucie County Fair. Tina's going to be there in just a couple of months. Actually, a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. Save the date for the 59th annual St. Lucie County Fair. It is the biggest event on the Treasure Coast, Friday, February 23rd till Sunday, March 3rd. It's 10 days of pure fun for the whole family. They've got new programs like their grown-up experiences, the new beer garden, fire pits, and an all-new family fun zone. They've got 17 free ground attractions, a wide-open rodeo, livestock shows, and Crash Demolition Derby. Over 100 free things to see and do. Take advantage of the Mega Pass that gets you entry and unlimited rides every day of the fair for just $90. Again, the fun starts on Friday, February 23rd and goes until March 3rd. And you can get your tickets at stluciecountyfair.org. That is stluciecountyfair.org.
The quality of your voice when you started that read sounded like one of the carnival barkers that tries to emasculate men into playing a basketball game to win prizes for their female companion.
It's gotten so worse.
Tina's the one that, come on up here. What's the matter? You're afraid you can't win a teddy bear for that beautiful girl?
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, come on, I'll give you the first shot for free. First shot's on me. After that, three for $10. Win her a bear. You don't love her? She should come here tomorrow with a guy who does.
Oh, yeah.
That's Tina.
I didn't start off that read strong.
Yeah. Tina's got the voice of one of those women who you can tell have been smoking since the age of 6.
Oh, I know.
On the TV show Love After Lockup.
Dean said, did you smoke some cigarettes this weekend? Like, I was like, no.
Sound like you were hotboxing. Sound like you smoked 2 cartons of Newports with one match.
Nope. None of that.
She lit one match, Dean, smoked that cigarette, and it was burning down to the very tip. Yeah. And she lit the next one with it.
Yep. No, and she had 2 boxes.
That's Tina, that's your new nickname. Forget about Pudding. Your new nickname is Newport.
Yeah. No.
Newport 500.
I prefer Pudding over that.
Dean, what happened with you and Bruce Buffer? The legendary UFC cage announcer, he punked you, we understand, last week.
And I felt bad about it too, because like I thought I was tougher than this. Or I thought I had more respect in the industry than this.
Oh.
So let me first say this. You know how, like, at this job, I don't really care about it. So, like, I can be late, and it's not a big deal.
You're talking about this job right now?
Yeah, this job right now.
No, we understand.
I don't care. Like, if I'm late, I'm just like, what y'all, fire me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get fired.
I was going to say, you're probably hoping that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm never late at the UFC.
Oh, my God.
I'm always on time. Like, I'm my timing is impeccable. I'm always on time. So we have a call time.
Take it easy, Ja Rule.
But seriously, like, I'm always on time. So the call time is at 2:15. That means that I have to be downstairs and get inside the car to go to the venue at 2:15. This is fight day. So I'm all dressed. I'm looking good. And it's 2:10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking to the elevator. And I get a random phone call from Bruce Buffer.
It's time to get your ass to the car.
Does he call you often?
No, he's never called me before.
Hello, Dean.
And so I was like thrown off by it, because in fact, like, I thought I was riding to the venue by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a random call as I'm walking to the elevator at 2:10. And I'm like, hey, what's up, Bruce? What's going on? Dean, Warrior. I said, about to hop in the elevator. Come on, let's go. I said, am I late? I said, am I late? And he hung up on me.
Oh.
So I get in the elevator and I'm looking at my phone like,
what just happened?
Yeah, I'm like, why is he even calling me? So then I get downstairs and I walk, and he's standing outside with his arms folded, staring at
the door. Tapping his toe. Yeah. Checking his watch.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I walk outside and he goes, Dean. I said, what's up? He said, come on, let's go. And he walks, and there's a black Lincoln Continental standing right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He turns around. He gets in. He starts to open the door up, as you know, closest to him, and he goes, get on the other side.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, my God.
What did I do to Bruce?
That's what I said. I was like, oh, my God. He's like, get in on the other side. And I'm like, man. So then, I walk around, and I'm like already now like feeling like a little puppy. And I get in the car, and he's scrolling on his phone, not paying no attention to me. He didn't say anything to me. He's not paying attention to me, just looking at his phone.
Are you lost?
And at this point, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed and I'm sad. And I'm like, man, he done punked me. Like, I didn't even know I was riding with him.
Did he get told a different time, an earlier time?
No. Like, he didn't even explain himself. So I'm embarrassed. So then it's like this awkward silence. And then I feel like Tina with awkward silence.
I hate, yeah. So I can't do it.
What's your favorite color, Bruce?
Yeah. No, so I go.
Do you like dogs?
So I go.
How's your day going?
How do I bring reeling back in? I go, let me compliment him. I said, Bruce, man, I got to tell you, that cologne that you got is really good, man. I love the cologne because he gave me a bottle of cologne.
Okay.
And it's a cologne that he's involved with,
yeah,
right?
It's his own brand of
it's
cologne.
It's his own brand.
Okay. It's his own brand. I was like, yeah, Bruce, I love that brand of cologne, man. It's amazing. He doesn't take his eyes off of his phone. And he's still scrolling on the phone. He goes, yeah, you know, you can go right on Amazon and get it if you want some more of it.
You didn't even ask for it?
No.
He could send you a free bottle,
yeah,
or hook you up.
Yeah.
You can go to Amazon and get it yourself.
He
there,
did it, and he still doesn't look up. And that was it, man. And then we sat in silence for 10 minutes.
It's terrible, right?
But it felt like 2 hours.
It's terrible.
Because that was all. And he never looked up. He never said anything to me. And I'm thinking, I can't believe he just punked me, man. And I felt so bad and so small at this time. Like, I thought he was my friend.
Tina's like, it's terrible. It's terrible. No, Tina, it's not terrible when everything's fine. It's terrible when somebody's like mad at you and you have no idea why.
No, awkward silence, no matter what the situation is terrible. For me, it is. I can't take it.
When there is silence, by the way, silence isn't necessarily awkward, T. You think any silence is awkward? I totally get it. But when there is silence, Tina turns into Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, she does.
I can't.
What's your favorite color? Do you like marshmallows? Good news. I saw a dog today.
You have any pets? Yeah, I'm just asking anything. I can't do it.
Dean, there has to be an explanation where Buffer got, you know, a note that said what time their departure was. And it was probably 10 or 15 minutes earlier than the time you were given.
It had to be. It had to be. He might have had a call time at 2 o'clock.
Right. Do you think maybe he got to like the cars and they said, "Oh, like you're riding with Dean," and they were just like waiting? And
that had to be it.
He thought he was riding alone, and then he found out he had to bring you along.
And then he's waiting, and so.
Well, and that's the thing too, is he normally rides alone. Like Bruce never ride with any of us. Uh-oh. He never rides with us. That's why I was thrown off by it.
Right.
Interesting.
I like your cologne a lot. You can get on Amazon.
That's exactly what he says. He's like, "Yeah, it's on Amazon. You know, I think right now you get a discount."
I love that he's got his arms crossed. He's standing by the car, tapping his toe. I love that he gets in. He tells you, go around the other side. That's how you know he's pissed.
I'm annoyed with you.
Yeah, we head into the 2-minute warning. There will not be awkward silence. Well, actually, there will be after the punchlines that C-Cat mm-hmm. gives us in the Championship of Cringe Monday edition Comedy Spotlight. Can't wait for that awkward silence. Tina will fill it by saying, not great.
Yeah.
kind of like it. We'll get to that coming up. Ed Morse Automotive Group, what you drive says a lot about you. And if what you're driving has the Ed Morse name on it, it says you expect a lot from and about your vehicle and the people that sold it to you. Ed Morse doesn't just sell vehicles. They stand behind them and behind each and every one of the more than 2 million people who drive them. That's why the family-owned and operated Ed Morse Automotive Group of dealerships has been in business since 1946. 77 years of dedication. Coming up on 78 now. Dedication to customers and community. When Ed Morse says they have your back, you can believe them. You are backed by Morse. Ed Morse proudly supports the Miami Dolphins and many other South Florida organizations and institutions. Make sure your next vehicle is backed by Morse. There's a difference. Visit edmorse.com today. Edmorse.com, because you're always backed by Morse. The 2-minute warning is in effect. The home team on ESPN 106.3.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Casting live this Super Bowl week from what we are dubbing Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square. The home team for the ride home. At the end of this segment, I'm going to say coming up next, and then C-Cat's going to tell you exactly what's coming up next. First, C-Cat is going to do our comedy spotlight, the Championship of Cringe. After I remind you about Brain Matters Research, making memories matter, go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com, 50 and over. Get the quick, easy memory screening. Should be part of an annual checkup anyway. Those of you under the age of 50, tell your loved ones and your family members to please get this done. Because years ago, it used to be nothing could be done about having dementia, Alzheimer's, or having the indicators that you will. That's not the case anymore. Things can be done now. Significant things can be done now. If you've ever lost someone that you love to dementia and Alzheimer's, the leading form of, you don't ever want that to see anyone you love. You don't ever want that for yourself. Keep your independence and your loved ones as well. Go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com and go on in. Remember, absolutely no cost to you whatsoever. If you participate in the study, you'd be compensated for your time and compensated for your travel. MemoryScreeningsFlorida.com. Brain Matters Research, making memories matter. Championship of Cringe is a one-man comedy spotlight. It's all C-Cat, and it begins right now. C-Cat, hit him.
This is my favorite joke of all time. Just so you guys know, I'm going to use it today. My favorite joke of all time.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So the other day, I got on a plane, right?
Uh-huh.
Long trip ahead of me. A flight attendant comes up to me and goes, window or aisle? So I said, window or you'll what?
Turn the mic. Turn the music off. Turn the music off.
You don't
want awkward silence. Turn your mic off and go sit on the toilet.
That's a funny joke. Like, that is a funny joke. Like, whether you like the joke or not, that is a funny joke.
Dean, I promise you, I'm getting him on stage to open for Preacher Lawson at the Kravis Center.
I hope so. I hope so.
You're going to use that joke and not give me credit for it. That's how funny of a joke that is.
I promise you, I will never use that joke. Your joke is safe. Coming up next, it's what, C-Cat?
We've got Freddie and Harry for an hour, then 3 hours of Amber and Ian.
Fantastic. And it's also opening night, don't forget, for the Super Bowl. Kids, remember, every day above ground
is a good day.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Good night, bad guy.
Have a great night. Back tomorrow at 4, Home King time, just about 6 p.m.